Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday night. That familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the weekend wrap. Got a great show tonight. Going to have Mr. Ice John Scully, as usual, go over some of the fights that occurred this weekend and talk about some of the ones coming up. Also, we're going to talk about throwback fantasy boxing application that you see on the Ring magazine. It's been up. We're going to talk to the inventor of the throwback ring fantasy, Mr. Nick Canobia. We're going to have a talk with him. His father is actually the inventor of CompuBox. And we're going to have a little talk with Mr. Kalani Luau. He's going to fill us in with the latest MMA news, talk about the big pay-per-view events coming up and whatnot. So let's see if we can get Mr. Scully in. Give me a moment here. Sorry about that, everyone. Seems like John had to go to the hospital with his father. It's tough. Dealing with parents and the illness, very well understandable here. We hope everything is well, and that he can get back on the show next week. Pardon me for a moment here. Let's see if we can bump up some of our guests, and let's see what's going on here. Hold on. Yeah, I just got a text from Mr. Scully. We're going to be scheduling for Tuesday. They're going to keep his father. Seems like he's going to be tied up in the hospital for a while. So we will talk to Mr. Scully Tuesday. And let's see. Well, we still have Nick will be on. He'll be coming on at 6:30. And also, as I said, we'll be talking a little MMA with Mr. Kalani Lua. So sit back, relax. Let's see what we can do here about talking about a few things. I'm actually going to probably drop out here for a minute, try to see if I can get a guest on for us real quick, someone to talk a little bit about the heavyweight fight and whatnot. I especially would like someone to talk to me about that Dominic Brazil fight. I thought, I find it very unnerving when we have decisions like this. I understand the young man is an up-and-comer, up-and-coming prospect, and we want to see the best performances. But I don't think I don't really see what good they do for a younger fighter. Naturally, he gets the W, his record remains spotless, But I think there's a downside to this. Why do we reward these young men for their bad performances just because they're contenders. I mean, we've talked many, many times about the importance of the O, but I don't think, you know, I mean, given the experience of a loss, he'll come back, he'll learn from it, he'll learn from his mistakes, rather than, you know, let him think that he can just get by with putting on mediocre performances, and the boxing public will take to it and you know, accept it, and they will accept him. I understand, you know, all fighters are booed occasionally, and you know, I can't see, especially on a big on the biggest stage in the world, you're a heavyweight. I just think it's setting a very, very bad precedence. And, I think we should, you know, really look into the examples that we're setting for these young men. That being said, the young man got his O, let's hope that he'll go back, look at the tape, look at his mistakes, and learn from them, and continue his rise up the heavyweight prospect ladder. We didn't really get a good chance to see him because the fight only lasted 93 seconds, but there was a great performance by Mr. Julian Jackson, where he called out Austin Trout immediately afterwards. And, you know, you can say what you want, but I think the way that these two young men handled their business and talked about the fight, I think it was very admirable. Neither man had anything bad or vicious to say about anyone. And as Julian said, it's just a matter of business. There's no disrespect. There's no hatred. It's just, you know, one young man is ranked number two, I believe. The other one's ranked number six. So it's a logical fight. I think it would be a good action fight. I thought Austin Trout, as usual, handled it like a gentleman. Very crisp, measured response. And as I said, I mean, you know, he expressed, you know, he was very grateful that, you know, there was no hate or animosity involved in this. It's just a matter of business. And, you know, when you look at it on paper, it's a great, you know, we always talk about how styles make fights. So, you know, I think it's a great matchup, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. Let's see. Some of the other things that we can talk about here. We have some very good fights coming up this particular weekend. The first one we can talk about is Lucas Matisse against Victor Pastal. Matisse, ranked number one, Pastal number seventh for the junior welterweight WBC title. I'm kind of looking forward to this fight. Matisse has always proven to be a very fan favorite. Pastal, even though he's kind of an unknown on this side of the pond, I think people are going to be very appreciative of what the young man brings into the ring. And this is Lucas Matisse. I'm not going to say that this is going to last the whole 12 rounds, but it does have the potential to be a barn burner. And possibly, you know, we could see, if not a candidate for fight of the year, at least maybe a few rounds that would be candidates for round of the year. So I'm really looking forward to this particular matchup. Right out here in Carson, California. It'll be on HBO. And let's see what else. Who else is on that call? Hometown favorite from right here in San Diego, Mr. Antonio Roscoe. He'll be fighting Humberto Soto, 10 rounds, junior welterweight. We've always Mr. Roscoe has been on the show many, many times on the Pugilist Corner, him and his trainer. As I said, local favorite, always puts on a great show. We're expecting great things of the young prospect. Hopefully one day soon we'll see him in a championship bout. And we look forward to watching him rise. And this is a very good matchup. Wily veteran against a young upcomer, Humberto Soto. We all know what he brings to the table, even though he's a few years past his prime. But hey, we're looking for a very entertaining bout here, and by most parts, I believe everyone believe this is a good test for Antonio, and we hope to see him victorious. Another gentleman that's a local favorite is going to be in the ring on this same card, Macedo Hester, another great friend of the show, lightweight division, 10 rounds. He's going to be fighting, Martin Horatio. So this is a good card, HBO card, Saturday, October 3rd. Tune in to HBO. Be sure and catch it. Also on Showtime, out of the sister city of Cincinnati, my favorite place in Ohio to visit or to be away from. But anyway, Mr. Adrian Broner is getting back in the ring. He's going to be fighting a gentleman whose last name I don't really want to butcher, but it's going to be a 12-round junior welterweight division bout for a WBA title. Once more, was trying to give Mr. Adrian Broner the doubt. Once more, he's competing for a title. I wish we had a lot more time. I'd like to get some opinions on whether Adrian Broner really does deserve another shot at a title. I mean, considering the performances that he's put out lately, and just the way that things have been handled, should Adrian Broner be fighting for another title? But as I said, Tuesday when I get Mr. Scully on the show, we'll discuss that a little bit more. Also on the undercard, 12 rounds, junior lightweight. Jose Pedraza will be defending his title against Mr. Edner Cherry. So, good Showtime card, HBO card, great entertaining weekend, Saturday, October 3rd. Carson, California, HBO, Cincinnati, Showtime. Also, same weekend, Friday night, Estrella TV, fighting out of L.A., Patrick Teixeira against Gabriel Martinez, 10 rounds, middleweight division, and young upcoming prospect, Zachary Ochoa, against the dreaded TBA. So we do have some very good bouts coming up this weekend, don't forget Tuesday night, Fox Sports out of Las Vegas, Javier Fortuna against Carlos Velasquez, 12 rounds, junior lightweight division. Good matchup here. We all know what Fortuna brings to the table. Carlos Velasquez, should be a good test for the young man. Javier is rated number 6. Also on that same card, 10 rounds, lightweight division, Mickey Bay back in the ring. He'll be fighting Oscar Cortez. let's see. Two more bouts on that same card. Tuesday night, Dominic Dalton against Oscar Molina. 10 rounds, middleweight division. And to round out the card, TV card, Andrews Tabidi against Tomas Lodi in the cruiserweight division. So we have a lot of fights coming up this week, As usual, hey, thanks to Mr. Al Haymon and the PBC, we have Tuesday night fights now. We got fights on Friday. We have fights Saturday. Hey, say what you want. You know, I really think, you know, PBCS series plus, the regular HBO and the Showtime. You have to appreciate what Mr. Al Haymon has done for the sport and bringing TV or bringing boxing back to TV. I'm sure the numbers have told everyone that, you know, this is a good thing for boxing now. We do have boxing four days a week. Boxing is alive and well, and the opponents, everything now is much, much, I would say, in a better place. We have the bouts, the matchmakers are doing their job, making sure that we have good matches. We're starting to refine our TV series. The boxes are getting out. We have great interviews, and the fighters themselves, you know, are all equating themselves well, because now everyone never knows when you might be on TV. Let's not forget, most spectacular this week, Mr. Deontay Wilder successfully defended his crown. I thought I'm sure everyone was surprised by the toughness of his opponents, Deontay never panicked, took care of his business, and we're looking forward to seeing Deontay back in the ring soon. Not sure exactly who his next opponent will be, but according to all rumors and most speculation, it's going to be Povetkin. We're just looking as everyone is saying, and from the direction that Deontay is heading, we want to see that unification. Also, anyone would like to make a comment about Mr. Fury and the Batman, the Bat Fury? You can feel free. You can either leave us a message right on the Pugilist Corner. You can leave it on our Facebook page. You can leave it on our regular website. And be sure and visit us. We are the www.com, the Pugilist Corner. We are also part of King's Crib Network. You can check us out at www.kingscrib.com. And, we'll be glad to hear from you, and send us any text messages or any comments you might have on the show. You can leave on our Facebook page, also the Pugilist Corner. But, I'm sure everyone now is through hearing my dull monotone voice. Give me a moment here. I'm going to play a little music and then get our next guest, Mr. Nick. And I'm going to, hopefully when he comes on, he'll give us the correct pronunciation. But I'm going to go with Kenobia. So let's sit back, enjoy a few minutes of, let's see, what are we going to play here? Let's play a little Steelo here. I'm going to play a little Steelo, and then we'll get Nick on the line. Thank you very much.
Come on. Yeah. follow me, many miles. One, two, check it out. Let me break it down. One, two, check it out. Follow me, many miles. One, two, break it down. Let me break it down.
Like Pinocchio. What the mommy, I like Joe, but he's sloppy. Dad, Poppy got a brand new bag. For real, I take and kill O'Neal like Shaq. Chad, ask Michael Jackson who's bad. He says I am, but the queen I track. Dad, I'm bad enough to let my pants sag. I be in Vegas where 702
Give me what I want.
Everyone, let me introduce our next guest, Mr. Nick Canovia. Nick, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Did I pronounce that correctly now?
You got it right, yes.
Okay. To give everyone a little background here, first of all, you are the inventor or the founder of the Throwback Fantasy Boxing?
Yeah, it's Throwdown Fantasy Boxing. It's ThrowdownFantasy.com, and we're the first ever fantasy draft style fantasy boxing game out. Works very similar to DraftKings or FanDuel, where you draft your team of fighters. You're given a salary cap, and you get points for the CompuBox stats as well as wins and knockdowns and stuff like that.
Okay. Now, you kind of went right into my next question there because you kind of spoke about the DraftKings and FanDuel and that. How does this compare on the same level? I mean, those of us that are into fantasy football, of course, we understand there's a salary cap. You pick, so many players, one in each category. Is this the same concept? Do you have the different divisions? You pick different boxers. Kind of give us a little bit about. I know everyone has seen it on Ring Magazine at different times of one another, and a few of us, myself included, we've all signed up. But tell us a little bit maybe some of those that have seen it but haven't clicked on. The page. Tell us a little bit about how to get started.
Well, it's similar in that you have to draft fighters with a salary cap, but, unlike other sports that have different positions, football, you have to pick a quarterback and running backs and receivers. It's not like that in boxing. It's just, it's one-on-one, it's one guy. So you just pick five fighters. Favorites are going to have a higher salary than underdogs. A guy like Deontay Wilder this past weekend had a, much larger salary than his opponent. So if you want to take a risk and draft Deontay Wilder, you're going to pay more for him. So, it's going to limit you on the other four fighters that you have to pick. So, you have to try and, match up, take a look at the matchups and, predict who you think will win and, will they dominate? Because if they dominate, then you're going to get more points, obviously. And then even with an underdog, if you think a fighter's, has a chance to win, may not win, but may throw a lot of punches, land a lot of punches if it's a brawl. For example, the Leo Santa Cruz and Abner Maris fight, even though Maris lost, he scored more points than some winners. So, you know, it's a game of mix and match, and you have to do your research, which you can do right on the site, to see, you know, not only who's going to win, but even if a guy's not going to win, you know, is he going to score some points? Maybe he gets a knockdown. Maybe he lands a, you know, large amount of punches. You know, as far as the similarities with DraftKings and FanDuel with us, you know, you put the money together, and it's a large pool. You draft your fighters, and the winner gets, you know, the bulk of it. And, you know, with a big game, you know, $2,000 prize, you know, the top, I think it's 40 place winners will get money. You know, so it's a fun way to watch boxing, make it a little more interesting, and, you know, have a little money on it, get to brag to your friends, you know, I know more boxing than you, and, you know, get to prove it here at throwdownfantasy.com.
Now, is there any type of membership fee, or is there a fee, you know, a FanDuel, you have to, you know, deposit money in and whatnot? Are there any fees connected with this at all, Nick?
Well, yeah, what we do is when you first sign up, you're going to get what we call throwdown points, and you can use those throwdown points to enter into our free roll game. So, you know, if you're first starting out and, you know, you don't want to deposit any money, you can still sign up, you can still play to get, you know, comfortable with the site, get familiar with how it works, and then, you know, if you win some money, because those free roll games, even though it's essentially free, all you got to do is sign up, you could still win. You know, it's a $250 pot, so you can still win some money. And you can either take that money and play into the cash games to win $2,000 worth of prizes, or you can withdraw it, and it's your money. And, you know, if you feel more comfortable, then you can deposit some money and play. Our games, you know, range from, you know, we got $2 games, we got $10 games. You know, it's not, you're not going to break the bank to play each week. You know, it's a couple bucks, and you have a chance to win, you know, a couple $1,000.
And Nick, where did this original idea come from?
Well, besides this, I work for my father's company, CompuBox, which, you know, has been around boxing for 30 years. I'm sure everyone's pretty familiar with that. And we saw the expansion of fantasy over the last couple of years, especially daily and weekly, and we, you know, thought we can apply that concept to boxing. So we created it back in 2013, sort of tested it out, spent all 2014 trying to work with the scoring and different things, and we officially relaunched this year around the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. And it's been pretty good so far.
And Nick, you mentioned CompuBox, and you know, just giving our audience a little background, I believe your father is the inventor of CompuBox.
Yeah, my father invented CompuBox back in 1985. The company that tracks the stats for every major boxing event, every televised event that happens in the United States and across the world. You know, we track the stats, we compile them, and, you know, if you ever watched a fight on TV and you've seen the amount of power punches thrown or landed or jabs, you know, that comes from CompuBox.
Nick, tell us a little bit about, you know, what it's like as a young man growing up in a house or, you know, a home and around the sport. I mean, your dad had to be invested in the sport, not only with his time, but I'm sure as a young man, you spent many a day around some of the fighters.
Well, yeah, I mean, we you know, we live on the East Coast. I grew up in Long Island, New York, still live here, and you know, I did get to travel a lot with him. Anytime there was a fight in Connecticut or somewhere local, we got to go and watch the fights. And, you know, I didn't really hang out with the fighters as much as I would hang out in the production trucks. You know, ESPN, when they were doing their Tuesday night fights, Wednesday, Fridays, You know, we would. I was more fascinated with the production side of it, and you know how all the production puts together, TV, and you know all that stuff. So we spent a lot of time, you know, behind the scenes with that, and you know, fights. You know, there was fights every weekend. My dad traveled a lot. You know, we've been around boxing a long time, so it's, you know, it's a passion. You know, I love the sport, and you know, I hope that it continues to flourish, and you know, I hope it continues to go in the direction that it's going. There's more boxing now on TV than there ever has been, and that really allows us to do this fantasy game. You know, being that with the PBC, and you know, there's fights. You know, they're doing fights every weekend, sometimes two times a week. You know, it's more exposure, it's more fights on TV, and it's better for the sport and better for fantasy.
No doubt. You know, and you spoke about the Tuesday night fights. We're going to start having those again on a regular basis, which is one of the reasons why I have you on the show today, because usually on Tuesday nights now you're going to be unavailable. You know, and Nick, I mean, Coffee Box has been around a long, long time, and there are pros and there are cons. You know, everyone has their opinion, but can you, as part of the original founding concept and being a part of the whole CompuBox family, can you kind of explain to the layman exactly what CompuBox is and how it figures into the scope of the sport of boxing?
You know, there people have pros and cons with it, and you know, just like you watch baseball and there's an umpire, and you know, a guy calls a strike when it should have been a ball, and you know, if your team is the one that's in the negative in that, then you're gonna say, oh, that umpire stinks. You know, same thing with you know, judging and stats. You know, more judging than the stats, because at the end of the day, the stats are just a number. It has no bearing on who wins and loses. It's just a barometer of activity. You know, if a guy throws a punch, we count it as a punch thrown. If a guy lands a punch, it's punch landed. Our guys, our operators, are all either former boxers or boxing historians. They have votes on the Hall of Fame. And these guys are around boxing 24/7. They know the sport. So we train the operators in a particular manner to watch the fight differently than someone watching at home. You know, if you're an operator, there's two operators that count the fights. One operator counts one fighter, the other operator counts the other. And, you know, we're trained to watch, to focus on your fighter. You're not focusing on anything else. You're not focusing on the other fighter. You're just focusing on your fighter and seeing what his activity is, if he lands a punch or throws, you know, or throws one. So, you know, at the end of the fight, you know, if someone asks, well, who do you think won? Well, it's very difficult for an operator, if you're focused on just your fighter, if you're not seeing what the other fighter is, it's very difficult to judge a fight. You know, that's how focused you have to be. That's how, you know, why we're so accurate, why we've been around for 30 years. You know, people may knock it, but at the end of the day, we've been in business for 30 years. Every single major network in the sport of boxing hires us, and they hire us for a reason, because we know what we're doing, and we're accurate, and we provide a great service to the network. You know, anytime you hear any type of research or, you know, so-and-so fighter, you know, averages this amount of punches per round, or, you know, he's you know, outlanding his opponent, you know, X amount this fight, whereas he doesn't normally do that. You know, that comes from our database of 30 years of fights. Excuse me. And, you know, we take pride in that. And, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, it's just a barometer of activity. We've never claimed that whoever lands more punches or throws more punches is going to win the fight. Our numbers are not seen by the judges. No one sees them but the people in the, that are watching the TV show. So, you know, that's in layman's terms, that's how Comfy Box works.
Now, you know, we've seen, we all know about technology and you know, the great strides that technology has made. You know, and I remember, you know, back in the day, you know, when, you know, maybe your CompuBox numbers might be a round or two behind what you're actually watching. But nowadays, but nowadays, numbers are delivered almost instantaneously. Nick, how much has the advancement of technology really increased the accuracy of CompuBox?
Well, I mean, it's definitely advanced to the point where it is real time. So, if you're watching a fight on HBO or any network, and you see a slider coming in the round, and you see the numbers moving as the guy lands a punch, you see the punch, you know, the numbers change. You know, that's the technology. That's the, you know, that's the advancement. When we first started, we would count. And in between rounds, we have to talk to the truck and tell them this is what, you know, this is the activity for that previous round. And then at the start of the next round, they would put the graphic up. So there was a delay. So, I mean, it's definitely enhanced the television production. You know, you can get more stats in real time. And that's always, you know, better. You know, it's always better. That's, you know, seeing people want, you know, they want everything now. They want everything immediately. And, you know, with the advancement of what they're doing now with real-time data, and, you know, we can deliver that. And, you know, it's definitely made CompuBox better.
Now, do you see the trainers and, let's talk about the trainers first. Do you see the trainers now starting to use, do you see the trainers starting to use your service a lot more than they used to back in the day? You know, now that we see trainers seem to catch up with the new technology, different training techniques, different sparring techniques, do you see trainers tying more of your particular technology into their training now?
We've always worked with trainers in training camps. You know, we've worked closely with a number of different trainers. The late Emmanuel Stewart used to bring us in, and you know, we give them some info on some opponents of his fighters. So you know, we've been doing that since we started, and you know, every once in a while, we'll get a trainer that comes in and asks for our reports to see, you know, when a fighter tends to slow down. You know, we can break down the amount of punches thrown and landed by round and see, you know, if there's any trends, you know, where he's a quick starter or he's a late starter. So, you know, that stuff has always been around. So, you know, trainers have always been using our services, so that really hasn't changed with any technology. So, you know, punches thrown and landed haven't really changed since the beginning of boxing. So, trainers can still use us. It's a valuable tool to see, you know, if your opponent, you know, is a quick starter or a late starter, stuff that we can provide for them.
Now, you know, we know there's different commissions and whatnot, you know, with Cutman, you know, with the different commissions, you can only use certain things. Are there any restrictions for CompuBox when they go from, you know, from one commission to another?
No, because we don't interfere with the boxers in any way. And there's nothing that is put on the boxers or anything like that that would interfere with you know, the fight or anything. We're either ringside or we're doing the fights remotely from our office. So commissions have, you know, we have no say in what we do.
Now, when you set up, you know, as I said, I mean, you know, I know you guys do all those fights, and we were talking about the Tuesday nights. When you set up four coffee box, are you right there beside the judge, or, you know, or are you provided somewhere special, like the press?
We are normally a table behind the commentators. That way, if in between rounds, if we see something in the stats that we can hand a note to the commentators, you know, we're right there. We can hand it right to them. So we're behind the commentators. We're on the TV side of it. We're not in any way near the judges. You know, nothing to do with the judging or anything like that. They don't see our stats. They're not influenced by those numbers. They can't hear it. You know, there's nothing that there's no way of them, you know, getting access to our stats. It's strictly for the TV broadcast. So when we're there live, ringside, we're positioned right behind the commentators. If we're remote and we're doing it from our office, and we're speaking with the production truck and giving them the stats remotely.
Very interesting. Nick, what do you see going forward for the Throwdown Fantasy Boxing?
I can see us continuing to do what we're doing now. You know, we're seeing our registrations go up, so as they go up, and the prizes go up. So we're projected to give out $100,000 in prize money this year. And, you know, hopefully next year we can double that and keep going up and making, you know, bigger prizes, bigger games. And, you know, our goal is to one day, you know, have a $1 million prize. You know, why not? If there's enough, if there's enough players out there and they want to play our game, then, you know, there's enough money to go around.
Now, are there any restrictions as far as, you know, states or anything like that? You know, if I'm just a fan, can I just come on your site and be able to play, or does it matter what my address is?
Well, just like with the other fantasy sites, there are some states that don't allow you to play the cash games. You know, we are under the, we'll just call the UIGEA. It's the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act. You know, we have to follow those guidelines to make sure we comply with that. So there's some states that you can't play the cash games, but anyone in any state can come and play for free at any time. And then we're also available in Canada as well.
It sounds good. You know, like I said, you know, I know a lot of us when we went on to the Ring Magazine site and saw the click-on ads, you know, we immediately went and signed up. Some of us didn't know, you know, what was going on, but it was something new in boxing. And, you know, it was any time it's something to promote the sport, we always try to be a part of it. Nick, I'd like to thank you for your time, my man, for coming on the show. I know your time is very valuable. Can you tell us, are you on any type of social media, Facebook or anything, where we can perhaps reach out and touch you?
Yeah, I mean, if you again, if you want to play this the game, you can go to throwdownfantasy.com. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search Throwdown Fantasy on Twitter as well, Throwdown Fantasy. And you know, we constantly give out some prizes, and we're giving out promo codes to play more games for free. We give out, you know, our expert picks and. There's one other feature that I think would be great for your fans to know is for each fight, you know, along with playing fantasy on our site, you can score each round. So, you know, if you want to be that fourth judge from home and, you know, score each round, just like the judges do, 10-9, 10-8, that same system, you can go to our site the night of a fight this Tuesday. For the PBC on FS1, you can go and you'll be able to score the fight just like the judges. and share those scores on you know, social media with your friends. And, you know, it's a cool little feature that's working well for us.
Yes, I'm looking forward to using it this Tuesday myself. Hey, once again, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to have to get you back on, hey, maybe I can win one of those big prizes. And
yeah.
As I said, hey, we thank you for your service. We thank you for explaining more to us about CompuBox, because as I said, I mean, you know, we all have our own little opinions of it, but it's good to know exactly how it works and to hear it from someone the owner and you know, someone that's been around it all of your life, so you know exactly what it's about. You can explain it to my audience, and once again, I appreciate your time. So thank you very much, Nick, and hope to have you back on the show soon, and I'll be sure to follow you on Facebook and make sure that all of our fans do also.
All right. I really appreciate you having me on, and I really hope to be on again soon.
Yes, sir. You have a great night, and like I said, we will make sure that we can get you back on a Sunday and talk some more to our audience.
Yeah, we got it. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Yes, sir, everyone. That was Mr. Nick, Nick Calvino. He is the inventor of Throwdown Fantasy Boxing, as far as the inventor of CompuBox. And it's a great little segment, learning what those two things are all about. A little overhead helicopter flight there by our U.S. Navy. But all right, everyone, let's talk a little bit of MMA here. We have our next guest on the line, Mr. Kalani Lua. He will be talking MMA with us. He's going to talk a little bit about the pay-per-view coming up and about the bouts that were on this weekend. So give me a moment, and let's get Kalani here on the show. All right, Blog Talk Radio, come on. Let's make the connection. Okay, we're waiting for Kalani. So yeah, the second or two, and we'll be talking a little MMA. Once again, I do pose the question, do you think that Adrian Broner should be fighting for another title? I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that Tuesday. I'm going to have Mr. Scully in. As I said, once again, our prayers go out to Mr. Scully. His father has been taken to the hospital. It's an emergency situation. We hope everything works out very well for Mr. Scully and his family. We apologize that he wasn't able to come on tonight. But, you know, those things happen. Hey, we look forward to having him on Tuesday. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that's happened in the world of boxing. And, of course, we'll talk about the fights that will be on that night. Uh, All right, here's our resident MMA expert, Mr. Kalani Lua. Kalani, how are we doing tonight, my man?
Hey, James, what's going on? Doing pretty good. Hey, my Raiders got a victory today, so obviously I'm doing really well for two in a row, so weekend turned out pretty well.
Yeah, sir. They went in there and knocked off the Clowns. My Steelers won, but hey, we might be losing Big Ben for about four weeks. But hey, the Sports Crib is on Thursday. Let's talk a little bit of boxing and MMA. What's going on, my man? Tell us what happened in the world of MMA this weekend. And I also understand there's a big pay per view that's going to be there in Vegas. So why don't you get us acquainted, take us around the world of the MMA?
Well, speaking about going around the world, James, last night in Japan, the UFC on Fox was on Fox TV. They had a fight in Japan where you had UFC heavyweight veteran, former champion Josh Barnett making his comeback after 2 years of being injured and on the sidelines. He was coming back to the octagon, taking on heavy hitter, knockout artist, Big Country Roy Nelson. Granted, these two aren't necessarily in the primes of their careers, but with their names in the sport of MMA, Roy Nelson having 8 UFC wins, all 8 coming by knockout, 6 of them coming by first-round knockout. We know that with his big right hand, he could put anyone to sleep. Excuse me. And then you had Josh Barnett, who, even though he's been gone for 2 years due to injuries, he's also been on the grappling circuit, entering Metamorphosis, which is a jiu-jitsu competition, and he's won the heavyweight champion there 3 times. So he's been staying active himself, and in this bout, highly anticipated. You really didn't know where this was going to go. Josh Barnett, throughout his entire career, has only been finished twice, while Roy Nelson has only been finished twice as well, but not in recent time. Where would this go? Would Roy Nelson be able to land a big right, or would Barnett be able to grind him out, maybe get Big Country down to the match? These two veterans went the entire distance, went 5 rounds. Maybe wasn't the most entertaining contest. You know, when you get big heavyweights in the cage, or in the ring, rather, when they go the distance, they're big guys. They throw big punches. They got a lot of weight to carry around. They wear down a little bit. But it was entertaining for the grappling aspect of it. These two were definitely going at it. Barnett got the unanimous decision victory. And now with Barnett being a top 10 heavyweight, getting this victory over Big Country Roy Nelson, you got to wonder, is Josh Barnett now in line to maybe take on the second-ranked heavyweight in the world and Andre Arlovski, who also got a win earlier this year, or is he going to take on another mid-level heavyweight, try to get his footing and his bearing back and whatnot? But the biggest surprise last night was probably one of the biggest upsets of the year in the UFC. Number 6 middleweight Gegard Mousasi was taking on unranked but highly talented Uriah Hall. Uriah Hall was the runner-up to season 17 of The Ultimate Fighter. For those who watched it or even heard about him, he was known for knocking guys out, the only one that has 3 knockouts on the show, and they were in spectacular fashion. Uriah Hall been a bit inconsistent in his UFC career so far, going 3-3 in his 6 bouts. But this one, he had the biggest competition, his highest ranked fighter, and he made no bones about it. With a second-round TKO, via spinning back kick, and it finished him off with punches, Uriah Hall, everyone said that this guy has the potential, but not the consistency. If he can build off this momentum, Uriah Hall is certainly making a statement that, hey, maybe he's ready for that next step to take on better competition in the UFC middleweight division. Pretty exciting stuff last night from Japan, James.
Yes, it was. There were some other lighter weights that seemed to have some really good action, some heavy action. Talk to us a little bit about those, about some of those bouts.
Yeah, now, being that this was in Japan, it was filled with a lot of Japanese-based fighters. I'm going to do my best not to butcher some of these names here. One in particular that I could say pretty well was a Brazilian by the name of Diego Brandão. Diego Brandão is a very good striker. Hails from Brazil. He's got a lot of power in his fist. He's most known for one of Conor McGregor's earlier opponents. Now, when they fought each other, McGregor caught him with the knee, and Brandao went down. From there, he kind of had a bit of an injury in his next fight, so he couldn't live up to his potential. But now that he's fully healthy, last night he made a very, very easy work against, and like I said, I'm trying not to butcher this name, but Kasunoro Kikuno, again, excuse me if I pronounce the names wrong. I only went to public school for English, so my pronunciation isn't all that good. But he made easy work of him within really the first 2 minutes. Brandao, like I said, with his power, landed a vicious left hook, and then it kind of stunned his opponent, that he was able to finish him off going forward from there with the easy first-round TKO. Another interesting, last night was Takakiya Mizugaki. Now, he's a former WEC title challenger, and last night he looked very good as well in front of his hometown crowd. And, you know, really for the most part, these Japanese fighters who come in, even though they're smaller, they're very well-versed. They got some speed to them, not necessarily the big knockout power, but they're extremely good grapplers. He got a good win last night, and he's certainly making his name known in his division that, hey, I'm here to compete for a title. And then also the former title contender trying to get back on the winning track, Keoji Hirogachi. He was in the next match. He was really one of the home crowd favorites because he recently fought Demetrius Johnson earlier this year for the title. He came in, and because of the main event and co-main event, he didn't get a lot of press, really, to tell the truth, James. Not much attention was being paid to him, but the hometown crowd, they certainly was aware of him, someone who was literally one fight away from being the first Japanese-based champion in the promotion. He had a big eruption, and last night he did good with a third-round finish. So last night the Japanese fighters, they really showed out, not just the Japanese fighters, but the smaller fighters themselves really showed well last night and showed that the UFC, they have the big boys to fight, but they're small guys to hold their own as well.
Yeah, it's always hard when you're trying to deal with all these different Japanese names and whatnot. But one gentleman that I didn't see who it was because I'll admit it, I was watching football, but I did see a highlight of a spinning back kick that, hey, Kalani, it was classic. I mean, textbook. This is the way that they show you. I mean, you know, it was almost like a Bruce Lee synchronization. Who was that fighter, Kalani?
Yes, that fighter was actually Uriah Hall, who I was talking about earlier with Gegard Mousasi. Uriah Hall, he hails from Jamaica. Now he resides in New York. He is known for his kicks, especially the spinning back kick. He had two vicious knockouts on the Ultimate Fighter show with that. Last night, it was a second-round TKO that he had. And what happened was Gegard Mousasi in the first round really established himself with being able to take Uriah Hall down with his wrestling and then utilize his ground and pound on top. When the second round, he figured because Uriah Hall is such a very explosive and powerful striker, he would do the same thing. Uriah created some distance between them, and really the spinning back kick was supposed to be a body shot. But because Gegard Mousasi was coming in for a takedown, he actually ducked right into the kick, got caught on the top of the head right in the forehead region, and that's what wobbled and stumbled him. And then from there, Uriah Hall was able to pounce on him, came in with a flying knee, finished him off with some punches. Mousasi tried to regain his form, gain his footage. Then Hall caught him again with another right uppercut against the fence, put him down again, and the ref saw enough that Mousasi was just out of it. That's Uriah Hall for you. He is very explosive. He is very powerful with his strikes. I don't want to put too much credit to him, but he's like a poor man's Anderson Silva with the way he strikes. He moves his hands around a lot when he's standing still. He switches his foot positions where you don't know if it's the left leg is coming or the right. He does a spinning back kick very well, as you said. Textbook technique. So he's very good with his striking. If he could just be consistent in that area, he could really stand up with anybody in the business within the middleweight division. And last night was just a testament to that because Gegard Mousasi, sixth-ranked champion, and be outside of the UFC, he has a 33-3 record. So, you know, Mousasi's the real deal. And Uriah Hall, man, he's working last night, which was very impressive.
Yeah, another gentleman that I thought did very well this weekend, he actually won Bellator's the light heavyweight tournament, I believe, to get a title shot. Mr. Phil Davis. Are you familiar with him at all in any way? And can you tell us a little bit about his technique and perhaps his future in Bellator?
Phil, Mr. Wonderful Davis, yes. I mean, he's a former Division I national wrestling champion at Penn State University, UFC veteran. And when he was in the UFC, he was kind of on the rise right after John Jones had won the title. When John Jones won the title, UFC light heavyweight championship, he was the youngest champion at the time. By that time, Jones had made one or two title defenses. Well, there was another young guy similar to John Jones, not maybe the same height, but he was 6'3", broad shoulders, very athletic, very strong, wrestling background and pedigree, and was ripping through the light heavyweight division. And this was Phil Davis. His submission game was very good. His striking really hadn't come around yet, but due to his grappling history with the wrestling background and his submission and his offensive submission game, he was really making a name for himself. He went on ahead. He had a big fight against Rashad Evans, stumbled from there. And then from that point on, James, Phil kind of was okra, I want to say. You know, he would exchange wins and losses. The UFC let him go. And then he went on ahead, signed with Bellator, which was a big signing for them because, you know, he was a consistent top 10 light heavyweight in the UFC division. He goes over to Bellator, and they have this kind of old-school mentality of one-night tournaments. Basically, they wanted to determine who the number one contender for the UFC light heavyweight championship would be because in the main event of that same card, you had the champion, Liam McGarry from England, defending his title against Huntington Beach bad boy, Tito Ortiz. Phil Davis, among others, were in the tournament. Phil got a tremendous, tremendous amount of momentum on that night. His first match ended with, a first round TKO, which really is something that's very surprising because Phil Davis isn't known for his striking, but he certainly showed that he's improving in that area. He hit a nice 1-2 head kick combination, put his opponent down, finished him off with some ground and pound, and then in the second match of the night, he went on ahead and also got a submission from a guillotine choke from the bottom. So Phil Davis, he has all the tools physically to be a champion and to be a very good fighter. But again, just like with Uriah Hall, can he be consistent? Can he put it together night in, night out? And Mr. Wonderful, as he calls himself, he's definitely got the personality. We've seen him in fight commercials before. So now he's the number one contender for Liam McGarry's title, with Liam McGarry being a very good ground submission technician and then Phil Davis being good at submission game as well, but also a heavy wrestler. This should prove to be an interesting matchup when those two match up. I'm very interested to see it. McGarry 6'6", Davis 6'3". It's going to be very fun and entertaining to see those two in the cage. But Phil Davis could certainly do in Bellator what he could in the UFC, which is win some gold. We'll see if he can make that dream come true.
Yeah, now you spoke about Nelson and their fight this weekend, but we also saw, I guess, about a week ago, Fedor Emelianenko came back in the ring. But do we really care? I mean, is he the draw that he used to be, or has he been kind of been reduced to a gatekeeper?
You know, I wouldn't say he's a gatekeeper just yet, James, but I will say this. For those who don't know, Fedor Emelianenko is considered by many, many MMA fans and journalists and analysts to be one of, if not the greatest MMA fighter of all time. Obviously, when it comes to MMA heavyweights, he's certainly number one or number 1A, or excuse me, 1B in that aspect, depending on who you ask. But you know, he went through a 10-year run of being undefeated. I don't care what weight division you're in, what promotion you're in, you go 10 years undefeated, that speaks very high to your level of production. But Fedor kind of lost some of his lure when he came to the U.S. in the late 2000s, late and early 2010s, when he signed with Strikeforce. Everyone was so excited to finally see the Last Emperor here in the U.S. taking fights. It's going to be on national television. And, well, he really didn't live up to the hype. Now, granted, he was older. You know, physically, his body was probably wearing down. He did take on guys that were evolving and improving their games. So he left a sour taste because his last fight in the U.S. was against the current UFC heavyweight champion, Fabricio Werdum. Fedor got tapped out in less than 2 minutes. he went off into the sunset to retire. Now, he did come back and take on some international fights where he went 3-0, but they were against lesser opponents. When Fedor again said that he was interested in returning to the MMA cage, a lot of fans were excited because they thought that we will finally get to see Fedor in the UFC, which really has never come. It's almost like one of those wishes that you wish could have happened. Hey, what would have happened if this guy would have shown up here? It's a great debate. Well, what happened if Mike Tyson fought Muhammad Ali? What happened if Roy Jones and Sugar Ray Leonard fought each other? Fedor in the UFC was in that realm for the from the MMA perspective. But he didn't choose to sign with UFC yet again, chose to sign. Well, he's not really even signed with Bellator, but he chose to do a deal with Bellator. He signed it with a Japanese promotion. It's going to be a fight New Year's Eve in Japan. The opponent has yet to be named, but, you know, it kind of goes to show. For the hardcore MMA fans, yes, he will always be a draw. For the casual fans, if he would have came to a UFC, it would have been a lot bigger because UFC is a bigger promotion. More people hear about it, they'll see it, et cetera, et cetera. But because now he's going to this Japanese-based promotion that has tie-ins with the Bellator, maybe it could happen if they promote it correctly. And if he comes in and he does well his first fight, shows people that, hey, even though I'm 38 years old, I can still be a relatively good fighter, then, yeah, maybe he could be that draw. But as of right now, it's really only the hardcores looking at it because he's not in the quote-unquote biggest promotion in the world, which is the UFC. It's like he didn't want to go to the NFL and said he went to NFL Europe or the Canadian Football League. He didn't want to sign with the NBA. He signed with the Lithuanian basketball team or the Spanish basketball team. Much respect to those, but we all know, especially here in the States and around the world, you want to be on the big stage, you got to be with the NBA, the NFL, the UFC. And Fedor's not there, so for casual fans, it may not be the biggest draw for them, but it's certainly going to be a draw for the MMA hardcore, that's for sure.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, you know, as far as Emelianenko is concerned, but staying with the heavyweights, Cain Velasquez, number one contender in the heavyweight division. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, James, he is a former heavyweight champion. So rightfully, when the champion loses his title, most of the time they are dropped down to being the number one contender. By all accounts, Cain Velasquez, for his lack of inactivity for the past 3 years, mostly due to injuries, and, you know, we can get into why he's so injured because of his training regimen. They train so hard at AKA, which is American Kickboxing Academy in San Jose, California. They train so hard and rigorously there, guys' bodies break down much quicker. But when Cain is healthy and in the cage, he is one of the most fierce, toughest, and scariest heavyweights out there. There was a time, obviously, before he lost the title to the current champ, Fabricio Verdum, where people were thinking that Cain Velasquez might be the equivalent to the American version of Fedor Emelianenko. Cain Velasquez might surpass Fedor as the greatest heavyweight of all time. You know, he's only 6'2", 6'3". He comes in for his most fights around 240, 245, but his cardio tank is second to none. I mean, for a heavyweight, he has a gas tank of a flyweight, which is about 125. This guy can go for five straight rounds hard and won't get tired. He can go for another five as well. Very good punching, extremely good wrestling, and like I said, with his cardio, when we were talking about the Nelson Barnett fight, guys wear down the heavyweight division. He doesn't wear down. That was one of his biggest tools. But, you know, his cardio came into question when he fought in Mexico City, just like in Denver, Colorado. The high altitude really got to him and sucked the wind out of him, which is something we've never seen from Cain. I do agree with it because, you know, Cain has shown that he can run through the majority of the top guys in the heavyweight division. He's ran through Junior Dos Santos so far. He beat Big Noguera, who already retired, and he got some other notable wins on his record as well. But right now, you can make an argument for who else should get a title shot first at Fabricio Verdum, but you also know with Cain Velasquez, he only needs one more good win to get right back into a title contention. But the UFC is saying they want to give him an immediate title shot. Sure, maybe we want to see Fabricio fight some other people, because if he can fight some other opponents, it'll be new matches of the heavyweight title picture. But at the same time, you got to say, hey, if you're a champion and you just lost and you were gone for a year and a half, 2 years, you certainly should get another shot at it. So, Cain Cain Velasquez, Verdum too. That's going to be an interesting fight. I agree with him being number one, although I would have liked to have seen Verdum defend his title against somebody else, maybe a Junior Dos Santos, Andre Arlovski, a Stipe Miocic first, just so that they could get a chance. Because if Junior Dos Santos gets the shot and he wins, do we really want to see JDS versus Velasquez 4, where Velasquez beat JDS for 10 rounds already in the last two matches? I'm not too sure that's big of a draw. So it would have been nice, but be that as it may, Cain's the number one contender, and hey, rightfully so.
All right, well, tell us what's coming up on the MMA scene. I'm hearing that there's some pay-per-views coming up. I don't believe Ronda's going to be back in the ring until sometime in November, but tell us what's coming up on the schedule.
Well, next weekend, Saturday, it is going to be UFC 192. It is going to be for the UFC Light Heavyweight Championship, number one contender, Alexander Gustafsson. In fact, not number one, but number two contender, Alexander Gustafsson, taking on Daniel DC Cormier for the championship. This would be DC's first title defense of the title since winning it earlier this year when he defeated Anthony Johnson in, I guess you would call it not a qualification, but you would say for the vacated championship due to John Jones' legal troubles off out of the octagon. But DC now, he is the light heavyweight champion. He is going to be making his first defense against Gustafsson. Alexander Gustafsson, who people may or may not know, he was the guy at 6'5", the Swedish boxer, who gave John Jones his toughest challenge to date. Back in 2013 when they fought each other, he gave John Jones 5 rounds of hell. I mean, he busted John's face up really bad. Lip was swollen, eyes were swollen. In fact, after the fight, John Jones had to be taken to the ER to get looked at by the doctors due to the injuries. Jones said that it was his toughest fight to date. And from that, people really took Gustafsson seriously. They thought that maybe he should have won that the first fight. Be that as it may, Jones kept the title. But ever since then, people have been wanting Gustafsson to get back into the title contention. But then DC came along, and then him versus Jones got pushed back, so that pushed Gustafsson to the side a little bit longer. Now, Gustafsson's last fight was against Anthony Robo Johnson in January, and he got knocked out in the first round. But given that Anthony Robo Johnson just lost to DC, John Jones has his out-of-the-octagon issues, who else are you really going to give a title shot to? Gustafsson seemed like a likely challenger. And right now, it's going to be him versus Daniel Cormier, the former 2-time Olympian, the 3-time NCAA All-American. In his MMA career, he is 16-1. His only loss coming this past January to John Jones. Other than that, he's got notable wins over future Hall of Famer Dan Henderson, future Hall of Famer Frank Mir. He's beating Big Country Roy Nelson. He's even beating Anthony Rumble Johnson to win the title. So with his wrestling pedigree, his striking, he trains at AKA with Cain Velasquez. So it's going to be very interesting to see. Daniel Cormier, throughout his whole career, he missed the NCAA Division I championship using Mikael Sanderson. He missed Olympic gold in the Olympics due to physical health. He missed his first shot at UFC gold when he lost to John Jones. Now that he's won it, how long can he keep it? If he beats Gustafsson, obviously, Cormier Jones, too, is going to be a very good match to see in 2016. But if Gustafsson wins, Gustafsson versus Jones, too, which is something not only the UFC, but a lot of fans have been wanting to see, that's going to be very interesting to go down right there. So this is a really big fight. You have the 6'5" Swede Gustafsson taking on the 5'11", 6-foot Cormier. Which one is going to give, height or strength? That's going to be very interesting to watch. And then in the co-main event, former UFC welterweight champion Johnny Big Rick Hendrick, the knockout artist, the wrestler, taking on Tyrone Woodley. Now, these two guys got some pretty interesting history between each other. They wrestled each other in college in the mid-2000s. Hendrick beat him, but it was a little bit of controversy. Woodley claims that Hendrick eye-gouged him and pushed him to him during the match and was able to use that to get good positioning. And now they're on a collision course here next weekend. They're finally going to come to blows. They kind of don't like each other because of that. Woodley has been calling on Hendrick for some time now. They're finally going to be able to go at it. That should be an interesting matchup as well. Both guys are wrestlers, but both guys have very good striking power. Also on the card, it's probably going to be a future number one contenders matchup between Ryan Bader and Rashad Evans in the light heavyweight division. Rashad Evans making his 2.5-year return after tearing his ACL twice. He's a former light heavyweight champion. He's looking to get back into the mix. There is rumors that he wanted to fight Daniel Cormier last year, but as I said, he injured his knee again, so that got pushed aside. And Ryan Bader, who's on a 4-5 win streak, including one over Mr. Wonderful himself, Phil Davis, he's stepping in there. And Phil, and if people remember, when Cormier beat Johnson for the title, Ryan Bader was the one that interrupted DC's press conference by calling him out. They've had some social media beef. Bader wanted a shot at Cormier, whether it was for the title or not. Now, Bader versus Evans, the winner of that could get the winner of Cormier versus Gustafsson, considering how all four men come out of the event. You got a heavyweight battle in there, and you also got a women's bantamweight battle between Jessica and Juliana Pena. UFC 192 is actually going to be a pretty good card. It's in Houston, Texas. So you got a lot of good fights on there, good action. It should be a very good card. It's next Saturday, so guys, check it out. It's on pay-per-view. Head down to B-Dubs, Hooters, Sports Bar, wherever you can. But UFC 192, sure, promises to bring a lot of fireworks, but it also is going to answer a lot of questions for future matchups going forward. So it's definitely one to pay attention to. I'm excited and can't wait.
You know, while we're talking about UFCs, you know, there's a bout that I kind of would like for you to preview for us. I know it's a little ways off, but I'm kind of anticipating this bout myself, even though I'm not really an MMA fan per se. But December 12th, UFC 94, Jose Aldo against Conor McGregor. Give me a winner.
James, they were supposed to fight back in July, and even then, I didn't know who to root for. The MMA fan in me says go for Jose Aldo. He's been undefeated for 10 years, undefeated in the UFC. He's been knocking guys out, hard kicks, very good puncher. He is a true champion. He is defending his belt against the best of the best, and he has dealt with all of them. But the fan in me, not MMA fan, but just the fan in me says, how do you root against Conor McGregor? This young Irishman has come on the scene. He has called out his shot. He's done the Babe Ruth where he's just pointing his fingers out to the outfield, and every time he's delivered, he stepped up against anyone the UFC has put in front of him so far, and he is taking care of business. He talks the talk. He walks the walk. Charisma, personality. I don't know who to go for here because in some ways you say you go with the veteran in Aldo. You know what he's done. You've seen him in battles. You've seen him in wars before. But you haven't seen him against someone as big and as strong as Conor McGregor. People say that McGregor's all talk, but then in his last fight against Chad Mendes, although Mendes only had about a week and a half to get ready for the fight due to an injury, he also showed in that one, hey, I got the power to put down somebody as good as Chad Mendes. He's also putting down everyone else besides Max Holloway by TKO in his UFC. So Conor McGregor has shown there's not many guys in that division that can stand up to his power. With all the animosity going on between these guys, for close to a year now, for the press conferences, to fight each other, I'm torn between who to go for. If I had to bet on it, though, James, you put a gun to my head and said bet on somebody, honestly, I'm putting my money on Conor McGregor. I just think with his unorthodox style of fighting and striking, I think if he catches Aldo with one or two really good punches on the head or the chin, I really think he could stumble Aldo in a way that he hasn't fought before. Because although Aldo has been undefeated for quite some time, in his last handful of fights, he's also been taking a lot more damage than what he used to before. Now, whether that could be due to lack of motivation because he knows he's that much better, or is Aldo starting to slip a little bit, his grip on that title starting to loosen up, who knows? I can't wait for this fight. I just hope it happens. No injuries, no problem. I hope it happens because this is going to be the biggest fight in UFC history, bar none.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that. Like you said, you know, these guys are both the real deal. And, hey, they're both listed in the pound-for-pound rankings. So I really want to see what's happening here. And, you know, we've all wondered, you know, whether or not McGregor is the real deal. Well, you know, I think this is the time that we'll find out. But either way, you have to love McGregor. Kalani, we got about a minute and a half here now. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find you on social media, any stories you might have coming up, you know, or, you know, you might let just let the public in general know about before we talk again on Thursday night.
As always, good to be on the show, James. Much appreciated. You guys can follow me on Twitter and even Instagram at KLUA11, that's KLUA11. You can also follow my sports page on Facebook, All Things Sports. That is All Things Sports on Facebook. Now, James, I know we do our thing here with the podcast, but I would be remiss of me if I didn't mention that on starting this coming Friday, October 2nd, I'll be a co-host of a comedy-style podcast. It's 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, so no worries, James. I won't be interrupted with any of your airtime, obviously, but I will be on with Don Ballhart. It's on Vegas All Net Radio, so if you guys go to VegasAllNetRadio.com, click on the link there, it'll link you into it. So I'm very excited to get back on the air. It's similar to this, but I won't get as much airtime on there talking sports. It'll be more of a comedy routine, so we'll see how that goes. But realistically, just covering sports, I got, like I said, UFC 182 coming up. I'll be recapping the NFL games from this past week. Not all of them, because you can go to ESPN or SportsCenter for all that, but just giving my insight on some of the good games that happened, some of the events. And like I said, Twitter, Instagram, KLU11, and All Things Sports on Facebook. And as always, James, I appreciate it. And, hey, congrats to your Steelers. Congrats to my Raiders. It's a good weekend, if I must say. Yeah, so until next time, James, look forward to talking to you on Thursday, my man.
All right, you have a great night, my man. Hey, I'd like to thank everyone that listened in. I'd like to thank our guest, Mr. Nick Cannabio, the father of Throwback Fantasy Boxing, and also owner and caretaker of Coffee Box. So we thank everyone for listening tonight. Look forward to seeing you again next week. Don't forget to catch us Tuesday night on the Pugilist Corner. Have a great night, everyone. See you next week.
Mm-hmm.